William Booth, who is the founder of the Salvation Army, said it well. He said it this way, and it's almost prophetic for these last days. He said this: the day will come when the chief danger of churches will be spirituality without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, politics without God, and heaven without a hell. That's pretty prophetic, wasn't it?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. A lot of people think of church as a country club where you go to enjoy yourself for a couple hours, have fun, fellowship with others, and there's nothing wrong with that. But today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us that the true church is like a hospital where we go to get healed, and then like a boot camp where we go to get training for our Christian walk. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Hospital and the Boot Camp.
Today I want to talk to you about the hospital and the boot camp. First of all, let's talk about a hospital. For many people, New Hope is a hospital. And when people come to a hospital, they bring their sickness with them. They bring their unhealth with them. You don't go to a hospital if you're super healthy. And for many of us, it was for me anyway, when I came to Christ, the church became a hospital. My life was broken. But here's the key. When you go to a hospital, you bring your sickness with you, but you have to admit that you need help. What if people came to a hospital and said, you know, I've got cancer, and the doctor said, no problem. A lot of people have cancer. We've got a cancer fun game, cancer fellowship, cancer, yeah, we just make you, we've got all kinds of stuff to just make you feel good until you're gone. So then it is no longer a hospital, is it? It's a hospice where there's palliative care and they just get you comfortable until you die, but you still die from cancer. The church is not a place like that where you come and we go, it's okay that you're doing that. It's okay that it's ruining your life. It's okay that it's not God's design for you. Oh, bless you, bless you, bless you. No, that makes churches a hospice. It's a home for the dying, where we make people feel comfortable until they're gone into an eternity without Christ. Now, this is a hospital. If doctors did that, oh, no, it's fine. You got a cold, oh, it's fine. You got the flu, no problem. Yeah. No, it's fine. You don't need to get well from that. We got all kinds of fellowships with people with COVID. We call them the COVID bunch. Oh, yes. No. We're going to do something to change that, to bring health. And that's what some people may not like that, but you have to admit that you need help. I like the old story of Cassius Clay, or Muhammad Ali was on the airplane. He was sitting in first class, and the flight attendant came and said, excuse me, would you put on your seatbelt? He said, my name is Muhammad Ali. I am Superman, and Superman don't need no seatbelt. The flight attendant goes, excuse me, sir, you need to put on your seatbelt. He still wouldn't do it, so she finally went back to get the main flight attendant. And so she said, I'll take care of him. She said, sir, put on your seatbelt. He said, my name is Muhammad Ali. I am Superman, and Superman don't need no seatbelt. She said, Superman don't need no airplane. Put on your seatbelt. Sometimes we think we're Superman, and we don't need no help. No, we do. And until we admit that, no help is available. And we have to be willing to say, I need help. Otherwise, it'll be too late, wouldn't it? You're looking for a hospice. You're not looking for a hospital. You're looking for some place to medicate you rather than transform you. It's a big difference. And so God says, come unto me, all ye who are and heavy, and I will give you rest. If I don't admit that, then I'm in trouble. Reminded of a story. You have time for another fun story? Just checking. All right, this is 8 o'clock service, so you got time. But this doctor calls up this patient and says, I've got bad news for you and worse news. Which one would you like? The guy goes, what? He said, what do you mean bad news and worse news? Give me the bad news. He said, well, the bad news is you have 24 hours left to live. What could be worse than that? A doctor said, I forgot to tell you yesterday. And I'm wondering if some churches are like that. We just forget to tell them that it's going to kill them. Let's see if you find yourself in one of these portions of this next scripture as they describe several different people. Read it with me, would you? Go. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. You catch that? Because it's easy to get deceived. By the way, God would not say, don't be deceived unless there's a possibility for you to be deceived. And there's deception in the world. One of the most prolific of the demonic spirits is a spirit of deception that goes around. And so be careful. Do not be deceived. Let's continue. Go. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, or the greedy, or those who are habitually drunk, nor verbal abusers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Next sentence, watch this. Such were some of, yeah, you know, God is like a equal opportunity offender. Do you ever notice that? You don't get away with it. But here's the cool thing. Listen to the hospital vocabulary here. Go. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I'm sure all of us could identify with one of those, but you'll notice he puts them all in a bunch. And he says, no, one's not worse or better than the other. All of you were like one of these. But you were sanctified and washed. If I came as a swindler, or if I came as a cheat, or as I came as someone who would steal, and I say, you know, I kind of like you to leave me that way. Well, it wouldn't be church, would it? You see, a lot of people want God's blessings without God. They want God's favor, but not to follow him. They want God's prosperity, but don't give me your principles. And it's not available. William Booth, who is the founder of the Salvation Army, said it well. He said it this way, and it's almost prophetic for these last days. He said this, the day will come when the chief danger of churches will be spirituality without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, politics without God, and heaven without a hell. That's pretty prophetic, wasn't it? We're looking for a hospice like that. We're looking for a place where there's forgiveness without repentance, and heaven, there's no hell. But it's not true. Hospital. When I came to Christ, I needed a hospital. And I brought with me my unhealth. I brought with me my addiction. I brought with me my wrong thinking. But as I came into this place called the church, things began to change. And you get to cooperate with Dr. Jesus as he starts to help you to become more and more the healthy person God designed you to be. And we must be willing to say, I will put on my seatbelt. Can you say amen to that? All of us have to come to that point where our hearts are open. Our hearts are open. So for many of us, it is indeed a hospital. It was for me, and I'm sure it's for you as well. You know, in the kingdom of God, you're going to have a place where we'll just call it the kingdom of God. This is his home. This is where he wants us to dwell. Prior to that, you're going to have, I call them pre-Christians, where our hearts have been trained by the world. We've had wrong ideologies. We've had peer pressure. We're afraid. Fear has caused us to buckle or capitulate to the peer pressure out there. And so we become mutated people, hurting people with a wrong default. God then has us come through this door of salvation here to become a part of the process of becoming more and more like him. Now, there's going to be another place over here called post-Christian, in that there are some people that, whether it's because of bitterness or whatever, they backslide. They say, I reject Christ. They received Christ and they rejected him. You don't want to be in this camp, nor do you want to stay in this camp. God is going to draw you here And he does that. God is drawing the people's hearts. But I want you to know something interesting. In Luke 15, there's three stories of lostness. There's a lost coin. The woman goes after it, the lost sheep. Shepherd goes after it, and the lost son, called a prodigal son, who had the inheritance and then rejected it. Watch this. I find out that God says, go after those, the lost coin, the lost sheep. He didn't go after this one. He let this one go to the pigs, come to a point of self-realization, and then they came back. When they did, the father's heart was waiting for him, but he didn't go after him as much as he went after these. And so New Hope, we do a lot of this. We're going to go after these because that's the example of Scripture. These we pray for. We ask God to bring them to their senses. But I want you to know the Father didn't go after the Son. He loved him still, right here, and waited for him. But he sought these. And so you'll see that even here in New Hope, we are not only a hospital, but we're a boot camp. Let me talk a little bit about being a boot camp. Once you come to Christ and you come into that central portion there, God now begins to equip you to reach these on this side. He equips you. There's going to be training. There's going to be teaching. There's going to be encouragement, inspiration. There's going to be a hope for you. There's going to be people applauding you, helping you, making a place for you. But there's going to be some stuff you'll have to do. You'll have to be in the gym. You'll have to exercise. You'll have to work out. You'll have to deal with some of the lack of discipline maybe. And that's when sometimes people go the other way. Well, forget it then. No. It's for our good. God is equipping us for the kingdom. In Matthew 4, it says this. Let's read this up on the board. Would you go? And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. They were in the boat with Zebedee, their father. What were they doing? Say that again. And he, you know, when God calls us is when he's still mending. The word mending is an interesting word. It's the word kartotizmon in the Greek. The word kartotizmon means not only mending, but it means equipping. For the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, for pastors are given to the equipping of the saints, same word, as mending the nets, equipping saints. Exactly the same word. Because you see, when you come to a church, there's going to be times that you'll hear the message being spoken, and there'll be you'll feel God mending you. You'll come with wounds. Some of you, some tears in your marriage and some tears in your relationships. And God's going to be mending you. You'll sense that. Oh, God's healing me. God's confirming something. God is correcting something. There's going to be a lot of mending of the nets here. But it's also not only a hospital where you're mended, it's also a boot camp where you're being equipped because they mend the nets to what? Put them on the wall and display them as mended nets, number one and number two and number three. Oh, let's put them in a pile and count how many mended nets we have. I've got a bigger pile than you do. No. You mend nets in order to what? You throw them back in the Sea of Galilee to catch more fish. And so when you come to the hospital, God will mend you. Mend your marriage, mend your mind, mend your whole system, which is unbalanced and broken. The king himself, not the king's horses and all the king's men, but the king himself will bring you back together. But it's for a reason. It's so that we can go out and catch fish, or as Jesus said, be fishers of men. Let me say it this way. There's going to be seasons where the church here will be a hospital to you. And then it'll be a boot camp. It'll speak to you, discipline, training, and then it's going to, maybe a part of your season will be brokenness, something will happen, and it'll become a hospital again. And then it'll be a boot camp. And then it'll be a hospital. And then it'll be a boot camp. You'll sense it. You'll feel it. And the church is a hospital and a boot camp. And that's why we're here in this place. It may be for many of us a boot camp, that God is saying there's people out there that need your touch. Need you to plant a seed. Need you to, not necessarily a touchdown, but just a touch. Maybe an invitation. Remember, we can count the amount of seeds in an apple, but you can never count the amount of apples in a seed. And God loves people even before they're Christians. You're going to see a lot of things in heaven. You'll see golden streets. You'll see mansions. Let me tell you one thing you'll never see in heaven again. You'll never see another non-Christian ever for the rest of eternity. Now's our only chance to welcome them into the kingdom of God. Come into the kingdom, the household of God. Because when the door closes, that's it. So do you understand the eternal assignment that we have? And that's why God wants us in a boot camp so that we understand this and realize, wow, we have a very important mission. Let me tell you two stories as we close about people before they're Christians. One was kind of a playboy, and he had six children by four different women. And he would go after playboy bunnies, stewardesses, flight attendants, ladies on the street, whomever. There's times in Hawaii where he would take his kids to go to the beach and then go off with a lady, and they would stay in the van overnight, all the children. He'd forget about them and come after them the next day, all alone, just the kids. His life was pretty bad. But one day, for some reason, I don't know if he was looking for another woman, but he came to our church in Hilo. And he was funny. He had a great sense of humor, a little strange, but we just started loving on him. He was different. He wasn't like the other Christians. We had to work with his language a little bit and some of his attitudes and actions. But we kept loving him until he asked us why. Why do you keep loving me like this? And it was at one of the services that he was baptized. He got saved, and then I baptized him. And you'll see it here in the pool. And this man, his name is... we call him Oku because his last name is Okuma, actually is Lori Higashi's dad. And what we don't know is that, and Monica, who is a chef for our students, it's her dad too, different moms, but they're here. And several years ago, I asked Lori and Guy if they would come and help with New Hope West. And all of that circles back to an incident where someone came to our church and he was loved before he came to Christ. And you kind of follow those lines all the way down and see now there's a pastor here, someone who's on staff, and we can trace it all the way back to someone who was loved before he came to Christ. Do you know that God has a plan for everybody? He had a plan for this man and his descendants before he received Christ. And if we think that they're not as valuable, then we may miss all of the future generations and the blessings that would come. Another guy, I had a heart attack some years ago and had to be flown to Stanford. And I have 8 stents in my heart right now. And I didn't even know I had that many vessels in my heart. But I came out of it and I needed to recuperate, and I went to a doctor and he said, just too much stress in your life. You're going to die. It's too much pressure on your heart. And I said, well, what do I do? He said, you know, Wayne, horses are good therapy. They put special ed kids on them. I said, well, thanks a lot. Yeah. He said, no, really. So there was a horse that bucked its owner off. And so I got him at a discount. And in fact, here's a picture of that horse. And I'm still coming out of the hospital there, and I'm still a little leery of my whole life. But I was afraid of horses, so I went to find someone that could help me train the horse. And I had 2-3 months off just to recuperate. So this guy I met said, oh, yeah, I'll help you train your horse, but you have to stand next to me. When I train your horse, I'll train you to train your horse. So I said, okay. So I went to his house. And for the next 3 months, he trained me how to train my horse. And he was just a nice guy, a little strange, but I thought, a nice guy. And so I started just talking with him, and I wrote his name down one day on a piece of paper, and I started praying for him. And it was about, 8 months later, I invited him to Hawaii, he and his wife, because I was still flying back and forth. And I said, come to our Easter service. I think you'll really like it. Well, he came to the Easter service, and that following day, sitting at Starbucks, I got to pray with him to receive Jesus Christ, he and his wife. And here's another picture of Tom and Leanne as we were doing devotions in Hawaii. So one of the first things I did was teach them to do daily devotions. And I don't think Tom has missed nearly a day since. And now he's ahead of our security. Do you think he was valuable to God even before he knew Christ? Absolutely. How many of you are thankful that God loves us before we even come to Christ? And there are a lot of others that are out there that they're just one invitation away from not only their life being changed, but their generations after being changed. Lori, I'm glad your dad received Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Guy, you too. Yeah. As we continue in our series called Radix, pass out some invitations. You'll never know what God has in store. You watch, you wait, you'll see. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we conclude. We're going to pray and sing our final song. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, would you lay some names on our heart, people that we get to invite, people that we get to bring on our elbow and just kind of lead them as friends and sit with them this next week and then follow up with them. Lord, I pray that we will be those that you will use because you have no other plan. You gave us the gospel that would change people's eternities. You didn't give it to angels. You didn't give it to celebrities. You gave it to the people of God. And so, Lord, and you have no other plan. This is it. So, Father, I pray that today we'll understand the huge eternal call and assignment that you've given to us. And this church gets to be a hospital and a boot camp. Sometimes we're in a hospital, sometimes we're in the boot camp, sometimes we're back in the hospital. But thank you for this church where we can be equipped and healed so that we can be ambassadors for Christ. Thank you for that. And now, Lord, we ask your blessings on each person as you anoint us to reach out, plant seeds, and touch on people's lives, even before they know you as Lord and Savior. How valuable they yet are. Thank you for all of these things. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray and we say together, amen. Would you give the Lord a clap offering?
You've been listening to a message entitled The Hospital and the Boot Camp by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. We have a couple of minutes left, so let's enjoy the music of the New Hope Singers in a song taken from Psalm 40. Until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's richest blessings and aloha.
Of those you trust, the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols.
Oh, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to live.
Oh,
to recite all your wonderful deeds. I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to